Hello, basketball gamers. Welcome back to the NLSC podcast. This is episode number 131, and what do you know? We actually made it 2 weeks in a row without missing an episode.
That's good. Do we get a gold star or a cookie?
I guess hopefully we just get people are happy with we can listen to us 2 weeks in a row. But yes, we did return last week. We are back on the air again this week. As we said, trying not to. We've missed quite a few weeks this year, unfortunately, due to one reason or another, looking to get the podcast back on track. And we are here to talk to you about our favorite subjects, basketball and basketball video games. Last week, we gave our impressions on NBA Live 16 and NBA 2K16. And of course, we'll have more to say this week. But I am Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hey, everyone. Good to be back again.
And yeah, so we've had another week of playing some games and checking out the latest NBA news. The NBA season is just 7 days away as we're recording this.
Ooh, yeah. So close. So close. You could taste it.
So I've been watching a bit of preseason action with NBA League Pass Broadband. I've also been playing the games, of course. And we've actually got some patch notes on NBA Live 16. We mentioned last week that another patch has been pushed through for NBA Live 16. Unfortunately, no patch notes. I did mention to a couple of my contacts at EA that it would be a very good idea if we did have some patch notes. Certainly has caused a bit of unrest just to log into the PlayStation Network and see minor bug fixes under the update history. doesn't really explain a lot, but yes, we did get the patch notes, and for those who missed them, once again, it's basically just a stability and a technical update bug fix under the general issues, address an issue in which users were not receiving content updates after being disconnected from the EA servers, causing them to desync with users in online game modes, improve game stability, no more details on that, but basically just crashes, I would imagine, under Pro-Am, address a delay in the summer circuit that was seen when users were in single-player game sessions. Users should now see a significant reduction in delay within single-player summer circuit games. And yes, the frame rate in those games definitely was quite disappointing for not actually playing with any online opponents when you're just playing the single game. But I can attest to that actually working a lot smoother, so that's nice to see. And in Rising Star, addressed issues with missing graphics and UI when jumping into a Rising Star simulated game. And I did actually play a bit of Rising Star this evening and haven't noticed any crashes or missing graphics or anything, so it appears to have addressed those issues. Although I have heard that the patch hasn't come through on Xbox One yet, which is sometimes the way. Sometimes Sony gets it first, and sometimes Microsoft sometimes Sony approves it first, sometimes Microsoft approves it first. And that's the way for both NBA Live and NBA 2K. So sometimes some of us get lucky, other times the other console gets lucky. So in this instance, the PlayStation 4 has received the patch version 1.03, I should say. And those are the general patch notes. And as always, you can post your impressions and further bug reports and feedback in the forum. But apart from that, NBA 2K16 is also awaiting another patch. It's already come through on PlayStation 4, but Xbox One and PC are still waiting for it.
I think that came through today.
They did post a message about it being within the next 72 hours coming through. It's with Microsoft and looking to be approved in the next 72 hours. Let me just check the Twitter. No, you are right. 11 hours ago, actually. Shows you I've been keeping up with the Twitter today. But yes, actually, version 2 for NBA 2K16 is available now on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So that's actually beaten the 72-hour window that they posted a little bit earlier than that. And we're still waiting for it on the PC version. Leftos mentioned in the forum that there will be some further optimization fixes and PC-specific, say that three times fast. PC-specific fixes and optimizations are also coming through along with the cross-platform updates to gameplay and whatnot. So keep it locked to the forum. Leftos is doing his best to keep us informed, but he can only pass along what information he is able to at any given time. So don't be a jerk to Leftos. That's basically what we're saying. But those patches have come through on both consoles now. They released some patch notes last week when the PS4 update came through. And Ben, you've been playing a bit of the game. Have you noticed any difference so far?
I wouldn't say I've played it enough to see. I did play post patch for 2K16 a bit of Park, and I still noticed frame rate issues and stuff. Like had I played two games. First one, for basically all but the last minute of the first game, was all smooth, and then it started to get a little bit funny. And then I played, after winning that game, played another game against the next competitor, and it was, it was unplayable, and basically got smashed because couldn't keep up or couldn't see what was actually sort of happening in time to react to the plays and stuff that the opponents and that were doing. So, that sort of took the enjoyment out, considering how pretty much most of the first game was quite enjoyable, and that with the opponent that I was playing with,
Oh, yeah.
or the person I was playing with, who was one of my PSN friends. I don't really know who it was. Could have been some random that I was like, yeah, phew. And they approached me asking what team I was on, or what park team I was on, and that. And they just happened to be on the same one. So, yeah, I told them that I was at the Shark Tank, met me there, and then, played those two games and that.
I haven't dived into my park yet this year. I haven't actually played online with 2K16. I have for Live 16, and as I said before, the patch for Live 16 came out. The online experience was actually a bit smoother than the offline or the single player experience. Fortunately, the patch has fixed that up. I'm still getting through all the modes in 2K16. Of course, they have a lot of deep modes, especially compared to Live this year, and then the last couple of years as well. I started my team on both PC and PlayStation 4. I didn't get Joel Anthony this year. So that was a bit of a disappointment that I didn't get greatness on my team. Instead, I have to settle on the PS4. I have to settle for a rookie Michael Jordan, which I got as the pre-order bonus, which I forgot all about because I hadn't I'd I had the game for a couple of weeks now and hadn't actually logged into my team yet. I'd been dragging my feet on that. So I remember that I had that and some packs, and the pre-order packs were pretty disappointing, to be
Oh,
honest. They
really?
didn't give me much at all. Yeah, that's
Oh, wait, so I'd still have those as well, wouldn't
You still have those as well,
I?
yeah. It's don't expect greatness. I think
Yeah.
actually, I think I got a couple of players rated about 75, which isn't too bad.
Okay.
But for pre-order bonuses, I hope that I get at least one
90
high
to 80,
90 or
yeah,
something,
85 to 90.
something in the 80s. But of course, they have adjusted the ratings this year in 2K, so they are a bit lower because they're going on the Hall of Fame scale with the ratings. So there is that, I suppose. But I did actually get a mostly a Bulls team. Actually, I picked the Bulls starter pack, of course. And got the Michael Jordan pre-order pack. I'm just seeing if I've got the screenshot here for both the PC and PlayStation 4 because I did take screenshots. Okay, so my PC team, the starting lineup is Jordan Farmer, Nick Johnson, Doug McDermott, Taj Gibson, and
Okay.
Perro Antic, I should say. So it's again, that's a starter pack team. So I'm gonna have to win some domination games to actually get a decent team out of that. On the PlayStation 4, if I can locate the screenshot, current starting lineup, Spencer Dinwiddie. I mean, I do have a higher rated point guard than that, I believe, but I think I just can't go past that surname. And the 85 Jordan, as I said, Doug McDermott again, Nikola Mirotic, and Joakim Noah. So I've
Okay.
actually got close to a Bulls starting lineup on the PS4, so that's nice. But yeah, if you want to log in, you'll probably find that because you've got the Jordan pack as well, didn't you? Yep. So, have you equipped your Jordan jersey for your My Players yet?
I
I
did.
forgot about
I got a because it was sort of tying into the whole story part of the my career aspect. I had to sort of change, but I was wearing the Mitchell and Ness Bulls jersey for a
Yep.
bit. Oh,
That was cool.
well, Bulls warm ups and stuff for some of it, and I sort of went to the long sleeve white shirt with denim shorts for most of the look for the cutscenes and stuff of my career in that. So, but for when I go into that mode, and that is when I'll change it up back to that Jordan jersey.
I'm of course still trying to get my face into the game. I had another frustrating experience earlier this afternoon trying to scan my face. Much like last year, it keeps losing my face. So I guess the game just doesn't like the look of my face. It's I mean,
There's TV ugly in and there's
yeah.
no, I don't mean to disrespect
I've never been called ugly, ugly.
that. And then there's
But
face scan on.
you gave me some good tips. I also looked up a couple of YouTube videos, once again giving some tips. I tried that last year and just could I gave up. I got too frustrated. But you give me some tips, and I got some tips off YouTube as well. So, I put it aside today because I was getting too frustrated. But said, no, of course, I've got the camera, so I'll give it another go when I've calmed down a little bit. And then I give it another shot. I will say, though, now that NBA Live has got its face scanning as well, you know, 2K is doing a lot of stuff better than NBA Live. Obviously, it goes without saying how ahead they are at the moment. But one thing I've got to give to NBA Live is it's got the better face scan. You know, it takes seconds, basically, to do. It's a lot more simple, and you can do it on the phone, if you've got a phone that supports the app. But yeah, that is definitely something NBA Live has over 2K at the moment, the face scan. But I'll give it another go, because I look very Neanderthal at the moment. I did a very poor job sculpting my face. And, in fact, you could even see a screenshot of it, because I posted an article earlier this week. The Monday tip-off this week was how my career could truly let us be the story. If you listened to last week's show, we complained a little bit about the story in my career, because that's kind of what we do. Wanted to put my money where my mouth is, Ben, and actually throw some constructive criticism and suggestions out there for my career, not just be a hater, but also be a critic and throw out productive suggestions. So that's what I've done. You can check that out on the site. Go to Features and Monday Tip-Off. And as I said, how my career could truly let us be the story. And yeah, I feel it's an interesting read. It was fun to write. So you can check that out. But I won't go into detail again, because we do rant about that enough, and I've already given my impressions on that. But yes, you can see a screenshot of my player, which I promise does not look like me. In fact, my Twitter is my screenshot, is a screenshot of my NBA Live scan, if you were really curious about what I look like. or EA tweeted out that picture of me at the event earlier this year. So either way, I guess, celebrity. But as I said, also been playing a bit of Live 16. I know you're still waiting for you're still tracking down a couple of issues with your copy.
Yep.
that you have coming your way, unfortunately. Apparently, if you do want to play the demo, reinstalling it at this point allows you to unlock everything again. So
yeah, we've had a few people give that tip, and I appreciate that. So yeah, it's good that we can actually sort of share that with the community as well. So if you have that problem, yeah, you know what to do. So I'll be looking at reinstalling it tomorrow, and then
we'll have to get some Summer Circuit and some Pro-Am.
Yeah, I miss playing that, because I did enjoy it, and I want to see the improvement since the patch, and if that includes in the trial and stuff. So until I get my full
version, yeah. And the full version, as I said, has got the patch version 103. That was just a minor bug fixes. Definitely hoping for some more big gameplay updates coming, and I'll be passing along my feedback to the team. Been playing a bit of Live 16 tip-off games, just NBA teams versus NBA teams, of course. And it's basically what I said last week. I mean, there's definitely more polish needed on animations than the post-game in particular. And I feel the tempo is a little bit too quick. I want to try some slider adjustments, actually, just to see how we could improve the gameplay for at least tip-off and Dynasty. Rising Star have sliders as well? I can't remember off the top of my head. But at least for Dynasty and tip-off, you can have the slider settings. Not much you can do for Online or Ultimate Team, unfortunately.
True.
But so even seeing what kind of tweaks they have and saying to the team, hey, look, when you make these tweaks, the game is a lot better, so maybe that should be the default settings under the hood and tuned. So any feedback like that, I have to imagine, is very invaluable, I should say, to both EA and 2K. So naturally, by all means, jump into the discussion in the forum and post that feedback, because we'll definitely be sure to pass it along. And we do know that the developers from both companies are checking on the forum. Hi, Leftos. So on the 2K front. And 2K doing the same thing, just some quick games today. And yeah, really enjoying it. I mean, it's just so much more responsive than 2K15. It's probably... I've got a feeling that 2K16 is going to become my favorite game in the 2K series, surpassing probably 2K13 PC.
Okay.
Of course, 2K13 PC was a really great in my career, but this time it's going to probably be my GM or my league that I really get into in that one. But nevertheless, I'm looking forward to it, and a bit of my team as well, because I do. It's one of those modes that Ultimate Team and my team, one of those modes that I'd thought, oh, you know, I'll check it out and just see what it's about, and it actually really hooks me. But I'm going to avoid spending real money on it.
Actually, I know someone with Live Ultimate Team. I know Mario spent a lot of money on it. I think somewhere at least 100 plus 120 plus. I know he spent the other day on it.
Okay, I hope you got some good cards.
He got a couple of decent ones, but I think he was hoping for a little bit more. But
I want to get my Scottie Pippen this year. I'm so close last year, but no Pip.
Like he's gone. He needs to go in like ultimate team rehab. Just as addictive. So,
well, you do hear of people spending thousands of dollars on it. Yeah. So 2K and live. So hey, if you've got the disposable income and not spending it, better than it going into your veins, I suppose. Or
the Charlie Sheen way.
The fellow who was on the Operation Sports Forum was talking about being a former addict and now spending his money on VC. One addiction for another, I suppose, yep. But slightly healthier, I think, too.
VC, it's a hell of a drug.
Apparently so. But yes, we will continue to give our impressions of both games. Really want to get a really good critique going. I actually haven't done a written review for a couple of years now on the games, I guess because we've been giving the impressions on the podcast, but really want to get some quality feedback to both developers on various aspects of both games. Something I actually logged in today, Ben, was something I checked out and logged into was the My NBA 2K16 app. I'd had it installed for a couple of weeks, but again, I'd been neglecting it. I got that set up today.
Yep.
And logged in. Of course, you can do both Steam login or Sony PSN login. Yep. So you are able to get VC, the free VC for both versions, which is nice. It's certainly come a long way. The My NBA 2K app. When you remember just the remember in 2K14, just clicking on envelopes and getting the random VC.
Yeah. Well,
and now we've got like full on card games.
Yeah. I find this year's one a little bit more stingy compared to last year's. Like. Last year, with just the earn VC, where you sort of do the pick of when you select three out of so many cards, I suppose they are, and you know, you sort of see how much what you can get and all that.
Yeah.
You can only earn up to, and this is if you get like the three of the same, you can only earn 1500 VC, so you're only earning about half of what you earn last year. But you do like.
I haven't looked too closely. Have the prices come down on VC in game at all, or no. Are we still looking the same?
Still looking the same, and plus you got more things that you actually need to sort of purchase when you take into account. Like if you do up your court feature, like my court,
yes. You
have to buy Gatorade pack things now, and they cost like I think 1500 VC for 10 games. So yeah, there's sort of
yeah. I saw it pointed out on Twitter, actually, you know, that is the really big downside of virtual currency in NBA 2K is that it controls everything.
Yep.
Whereas what you look at what they've done with NBA Live, they've got the skill points to upgrade your player,
yep.
And they've also got the, what is it, SP and RP.
For the, you know, merchandise and things like that.
Yeah, which I'm drawing a blank on the actual name, which is ridiculous. But, yeah, you've got the separate currencies to buy the clothing for your rising star player and pro-am player and then the skill points to upgrade. It'd be great if they did that in 2K, and they kind of do it in my team, of course. You've got the my team points and the VC.
Yep.
So it would be nice, again, if you don't have to pick and choose and all.
Yeah, you know, you could focus on the attribute side of things obviously the stuff for like my team and all that stuff, but you know, accessories and
either reduce the price or give us a couple of separate currencies.
Yep.
To do it, because it's really, I mean you know why they're doing it. It facilitates microtransactions.
Yep. And it's a huge cash cow for them, so
that's going to be hard to go against, because obviously that's a company good idea if you can get it done, and people are obviously pumping a lot of money into it, but it's certainly, there's a lot of I'm seeing discontent with it, and I don't care for it either. You know, I do like the way that Live has done it with the and of course they do have microtransactions in Ultimate Team as well. You can either earn the in-game currency or you can pay real dollars, as you noted that Mario has done.
Yep.
And people do, and of course do the same thing with Madden and whatnot. But yeah, separate currency or at the very least more reasonable rates, because when you've only got a limited amount of VC.
Exactly.
And only able to earn a very limited amount of VC, then having to be really stingy and divide it up amongst so many game modes. Yeah, no, I was hoping they'd pull back on that a bit more,
but
as the years went by, but no, unfortunately.
It's, especially, again, with considering how much extra stuff you got to buy. And then the whole Gatorade thing, like, yeah, before last year and before, it was you know, you earn that, or you unlock it with a certain buy in terms of achievement level and sort of thing. But, you know, now you get 10 games and then you have to buy more and then buy more and buy more. So, yeah, and then obviously the app is only giving you potentially half the amount that you could get in terms of reward and that. So, yeah, it's kind of disappointing in that sense. I mean, yeah, you've got a couple of game modes that help earn, and obviously the pick and win thing that obviously start when the season starts. But still, you're probably only going to get 50 VC per pick you get when all that, like, correct.
It's like the locker codes to grant 100 VC.
Yeah.
What can I buy with that? And the difference, unless you happen to be 100 VC away from the next big milestone, yeah, big round number of what you need.
Yep.
You know, it doesn't really get you much closer to a goal. You can't buy anything for 100 VC.
You know, considering
not a lot for 100 VC.
Considering things cost like 7,500 to 10,000 VC. You know, it's,
yeah, unless you're 7,400 VC in the bank, yeah, there. And, oh yes, an extra 100. Now I can finally buy something.
Yeah.
Oh look, this pack gives me crap. Fantastic. that's the other thing. But nevertheless, I mean, it's not going anywhere. So we need to make the best of what we've got, and the app is pretty good to actually get a bit of VC on the side, as well as the in-game actual in-game activities, of course. So, but considering that it is such a deep app this year, it actually makes sense that they went ahead and got themselves a separate cover player in the form of Paul George.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the app and you have a device that supports it, I would definitely recommend getting it, because every little bit of VC helps. So, and if it's just logging every day and, you know, on your commute or whenever else you've got time to pick up the phone and or tablet and get it done, you know, for a few minutes a day, it's worth getting some extra VC. But any more thoughts before we move on to other topics?
No, pretty much covers it. You know, obviously the next big patch for both games will probably really contain the in-depth gameplay updates and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's probably when I'll. After a while, it was probably when I'll get into some of the other game modes, just so you know, all those little kinks are ironed out beforehand, and then yeah, get to see how the game's supposed to sort of really be played, I guess.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to those big updates. Although with 2K16, I feel the modes I've been playing, which are the NBA oriented modes, It's playing pretty good for me. You know, I've actually been playing on PS4. I have to admit. So that I'm betraying the PC community on that one. I do need to check it out because I do have the brand spanking new PC with enough power that should run the game properly. Although there are reported a couple of optimization issues with hardware similar to mine, so I'll need to check that out so I can pass along my own feedback about that. But I have been playing the PS4 version, mostly switching between Live and 2K. And Live, as I said, I'm enjoying it, but I can definitely see the flaws which need to be discussed in greater detail. Basically, need to create my laundry list of my likes and dislikes so that I can go through that and continue to really analyze each mode in both Live and 2K. But feeling pretty good about both of them. 2K definitely the superior game, which is probably to no one's surprise. I mean, if nothing else, Live really needs to catch up on the modes.
Yeah.
But actually, before we move on, I had an idea the other day about Ultimate Team,
yep,
and possibly and for that matter my team as well. Thought it would actually be pretty cool if you could take your Rising Star player or my player into that mode and always have that player to use on your team.
That'd be pretty fun.
I mean, I'm not sure how it would. I guess it would just update along with the way you'd max out your player, and if you can get to 99, you're a 99 in those modes as well.
True.
But I mean, if you're going to have those fantasy modes, why not also be able to take your player into them as well?
Yeah, I reckon that'd be a good idea.
So that's something for the wish list, I suppose. But need to level up both, because I haven't actually spent any VC yet on my player, so I'm still a pathetic 55 overall. So, also, why I haven't ventured into the park yet. So there you go.
It makes a difference. I think I'm somewhere between 82 and 83. I just I'm playing as we record in that. And I did do two attribute upgrades in that just beforehand. So
so you've left me in the dust, basically. But that's what you use your 30,000 VC.
Yeah, I got actually up to 40,000 or 42 and a bit thousand just before I actually started really spending. And yeah, I just bumped my player up, bought a couple of items like it'll be some shoes or apparel and accessories and stuff. And then
Got to be the shoes.
Yeah. Well, I haven't got the ones that I really want to get yet. It was more about just getting the player up, and probably now that I'm at a fairly decent rating in that, I'll look at just getting some more of the sort of content, whether it be animations and stuff like unlocks of those, like dunk animations, shooting animations,
Jordan dunk package.
Yeah,
of course.
And then just sort of expand it past there, and then I'll go back to getting the attributes back up once I've got the content that I want.
Well, if you are looking up to upgrade your player, one final note before we move on to other topics this week. Looks like 2K is actually cracking down on people who are using the cheat engine to max out their players on the PC version. So that's always a controversial topic. There are people that say, oh, well, I've paid for the game, I should be able to do what I want. But, we've all paid for the game,
yep.
Presumably. So, I mean, we've all kind of got an equal opinion there. So, I paid for the game. I don't want to play with cheaters. that's no less a valid opinion than theirs. But in any case, yes, they are cracking down on that. So it appears people in the Steam forums are getting a little bit upset and posting screenshots of being banned. But hey, if you're violating the terms of service, then do so at your own risk, basically. and stop cheating online, because it doesn't make it fun for the rest of us.
What's the game like on the PC version, like, in terms of... Because obviously, I've got that new system now.
Yeah.
And I can...
I've still got to... I've been mostly playing it on PS4, as I said, so I really haven't played it enough on PC to really talk about how well it plays, but... The modes I've played have been okay. I might have been lucky so far, but that is something I need to get into probably tomorrow when I get some free time to actually compare and make sure that my PC is up to the task. Of course, it should be by the specs, but to pass along any feedback I can about the optimization.
Because I want to see if I can play it in 4K, I reckon.
Yeah,
I reckon
2K in 4K.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I guess it'll be some good impressions to share next week on the more of the PC side of things, and more in-depth impressions about the modes and the gameplay, of course. But from current games to old games, just want to touch briefly on the retro basketball purchase of the week. Well, actually, it was a few weeks ago, but my latest purchase, Ben, off eBay is Fox Sports NBA Basketball 2000 for the PC.
Wow, I didn't realize they had a game.
I know. No, I actually... Mark Price from the Post Game Podcast mentioned this one when I was over there for the EA event. We were talking on the Post Game Podcast that I appeared on,
yep.
And I'd played, of course, NBA Live 2000, and what's the other one? Oh, Inside Drive,
yep.
2000. Wasn't actually familiar with this one, so I did see it on eBay for an affordable price and picked it up in good condition, right in the jewel case and everything, and
nice.
complete with a manual.
Awesome.
So that is a PC game. I have installed that, played a little bit, and yeah, it's dated, obviously, but it's up there with Inside Drive 2000 and Live 2000 as a quality sports sim of the time. So
okay.
Might have to revisit that one and talk a little bit about that, perhaps in a YouTube video. Looking to do a bit more stuff with the YouTube channel. I know I've said that before, but I actually have some ideas written down, partially scripted. So. I look forward to that, but I'd really like to compare some of those seasons where we had multiple games, like the 97-98 season had NBA Live 98, NBA Action.
97 had Total NBA.
Had the Total NBA games, Total NBA 98 in the 98 season as well, NBA Action 98, which is the forerunner to the 2K series, that was also on PC. So what was the other one by Konami? It's NBA Pro 98. It had a different name in the States. But there was about four... and Kobe Bryant NBA Courtside. So about four or five, six games would come out back in the day per season, or at least some seasons that have four or five games. So it'd be interesting to go back and compare some of those. So that'd be something to do sometime. But the other retro gaming item I wanted to mention this week, if you're picking up... if you're dusting off NBA Live 2000 to 2004 on PC... 2002 didn't come out on PC, so NBA Live 2000, 2001, 2003, 2004. If you dust those off to play them on PC, you might notice that they fail to launch, and it'll throw up an error about, I'll quote the error exactly, please log in with administrative privileges and try again. It'll just won't launch. And basically what's happened is back in September, Microsoft pushed through an update for Windows 7 and 8.1 that disables the SEC DRV sys driver, which is the secure ROM and safe disk anti piracy protection. And when you disable that driver, that service no longer works. And so games from about that vintage, the late 90s to early 2000s, games that use that copy protection without their driver, they won't start. So basically there's two ways to go about that if you want to get into some retro gaming with those classics, and that is to either set up a virtual machine in VMware, which requires an installation disk for Windows, of course, or I've also put together a couple of batch files that will enable and disable that service again. It is still there, it's just disabled by default with this update that Windows that Microsoft pushed through for Windows. You can re-enable it. There is a potential security risk, that's why they disable it, but if you're careful and just use it when you want to and disable it again when you're done playing those older games, it should be fine. But you can download that from the download section, and I've put both a post in the wiki and on the main page, and that fix will actually work for any game of that vintage. So if you run into any problems playing those old games with that, please log in with administrative privileges when you definitely are, but it's because it's the copy protection failing on you. You can use that fix. So hello to everyone who might have Googled that issue and has come across the NLSC. What are you doing on a basketball gaming site, you're wondering? But hopefully you're enjoying what you're seeing. But that fix will actually work for any game. And for, as far as our community is concerned, NBA Live 2000 through 2000.
Just sort of... And, yeah. Sorry, I'll let you finish first.
No, I was going to say, of course, I'll put some more guides up about running the older games, especially as we do more 20th anniversary of NBA Live content. So what were you going
to
say?
One thing I'd like to see, like especially with what the Sony Santa Monica have been doing with the baseball the show and all that stuff, I'd like them to see, I mean, it would probably have a different name, obviously, but what the work, obviously, that was done with Total NBA, what they're doing now, considering if they had the same sort of production stuff and development that the show has and that. And I'd like to see where...
I mean, we've discussed it before, who would throw their hat into the ring alongside EA and 2K.
Yeah, and I mean, the game at the time was fairly solid in that from what I remember playing back in the day. Like I've mentioned before, I felt graphically it was ahead in some areas, obviously, with the courts and the shadows and all the lighting and stuff like that.
Presentation was pretty good in Total NBA. Yeah.
So just sort of, you know, what they're doing now, you know, if they're given a chance now to sort of, you know, what type of modes and then how their gameplay would be and how it would compete between, obviously, EA and 2K and that.
I'd like to see it. It would be interesting. We'd certainly cover it as well if any other games, any other developers threw their hat into the ring with an NBA game. At the moment, there is just the two, but it would be interesting. I mean, we've got into the discussion before, so I guess we'll revisit it another time, perhaps. But I mean, the amount of assets that you have to put together and the quality that's expected of an NBA game these days or any sports sim, that's, you know, back in the day, everyone was doing a pretty decent job, but the depth that's expected of this generation of basketball video games and sports games in general, you'd really have to bring it. I think you'd have to spend a few years in development before you actually
which
actually came out with on developing that tech in the background, saying, okay, we're ready, let's get the NBA license and get all the players into the game. And of course you'd need to have that rapport with the NBA and the players to do the face scans, because as we've seen from both 2K and Live, when a player doesn't get their face scanned, it really stands out. But no, that will be interesting to see. But that just wraps up the Retro Basketball Gaming Corner, I suppose. Haven't really thought of a great name for it yet, but whenever we have some retro gaming stuff to talk about, I always like to mention that on the podcast, because I am a bit of a retro gamer at times and like to pull out old classics and remind myself how far the games have come, if nothing else. Moving on to this week's NBA discussion. Very good news this week, actually, Ben, about Lamar Odom. Last week it looked very dire after his after he was discovered breathing but unconscious in a Las Vegas brothel, apparently looking like an overdose of some kind, but he is now conscious. He's up and walking around, communicating with people, walking assisted. Certainly a long road back, but I mean, I had a feeling, you know, to be honest, that after we recorded last week's show and sent out our well wishes and talked about how we were hoping for the best and how dire it was, I was having a feeling that this week we might be talking about how he'd passed. So it's it's great that he's actually rallied and recovered, or on the mend, I should say.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, it was looking pretty bad, so, but sort of hear that, you know, he is on the road to recovery and that, which is good to hear. Hopefully it continues and there's no, you know, it's not a false step in that sort of sense. Like, hopefully he does get out of the woods and all that stuff. And so,
well, he's been transferred back to a hospital in LA, I was reading today, so a bit closer to home, and
yeah.
all sounding encouraging. So, that is good to hear that we've lost a few players this year, and mostly in their 50s and 60s, although that certainly is still a bit too young. Of course, Daryl Dawkins and Moses Malone being two, Anthony Mason. Was that this year or last year? I think it might have been earlier this year. It's certainly a lot of NBA alum we've unfortunately lost a little too soon. Let me just take a look. That was earlier this year, Anthony Mason, February. And, of course, Lamar Odom is much younger than all those aforementioned players. So, but yeah, no, that is really good news. So, yeah, get well, Lamar, I suppose.
Agreed. Yeah, it's never good, you know, someone. He's about 35, isn't he?
He's 35, yeah.
So, you know, still relatively young. Yeah, shouldn't pass on so at such a young age, so...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's bad enough when we're losing former players in their 50s and 60s. They're still a bit too young by today's standards. So to be 35, that would have been sad, but fortunately, not the case. As I said at the top of the show, 7 days a week to the start of the 2016 NBA season. Looking forward to tuning in with League Pass Broadband, as I said. Actually feeling pretty good about the Bulls, having caught a couple of games and seeing the ball movement and everything. Defense is a little bit sloppy at times, but the offense is looking pretty good. But as far as making predictions, we threw out a few last week, and NBA.com published their 2015-16 GM survey, where the GMs of all 30 teams were sleep surveyed and gave their thoughts on how they think the season is going to go down and what they think of the players and the coaches and whatnot. Just to recap some of the highlights, 53.6% of GMs are picking the Cavs to win the title.
Yeah, I think that's a bit too high. I still think it'll be the Spurs.
Well, it should be noted that I think Nick pointed out in the forum, 0.8% last year picked the Warriors to win. So I guess if GMs had that great foresight, they wouldn't make the mistakes they do.
Yep.
Just throwing it out there. Easy to do when I'm sitting here, you know, when we're sitting on our couches and or chairs and whatnot. Armchair analysts, armchair GMs. Anyway, but over half the GMs are picking the Cavs to win the title, so that's... And I think they're certainly up there. You can't discount them. 86.2% of GMs would start a franchise today with Anthony Davis. So he's rather a big swing against LeBron, and Anthony Davis being picked as the guy to build around these days. What do you think of that?
I think that's fair. Like,
agreed.
If you look at it like a fantasy league standpoint... you know, he's going to be like the number one pick for the next season or so at least. So yeah, he'll get those stats that GMs and that will be, or even coaches and that will be salivating for. So yeah, I think that's on the mark right there.
See, I don't disagree. I think he's getting into that superstar status. I think he's taken that leap last season. And absolutely a player that you can build around. I think he's, even with 1 year as a bona fide star, I think he has got that status. The only thing that really surprises me is that huge swing to 86.2%, because LeBron, even if he is on the downside of his career at this point, having been in the league over a decade and old man 30, almost 31, but certainly has entered the league at a young age, and as Kobe has shown, that takes a toll on the body. With all his injuries in the last few years, also being a fellow high school to the pros player, I'm surprised, because I mean LeBron is still the best player in the league today. I guess I'm surprised it's 86.2%. I would have thought perhaps there'd be a bit more divided between the up and coming emerging superstar in Anthony Davis and the established best player in the league and once in a generation player. But then again, he at 22, Davis does provide that opportunity to build for the future. So theoretically, you know, I can't fault the choice. I guess I'm a bit surprised that LeBron still isn't getting that much love.
True.
Although he is getting Kevin Love back, so there you go. Okafor, they reckon he's going to edge Carl Anthony Towns as the Rookie of the Year. Don't know about that one.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be a close race.
Yeah, I haven't followed the rookies this year as compared to others and that, but I know I reckon it'd be a pretty tight race between it, and there could be a surprise packet, even if someone outside the top three or five rookies in the draft and that could end.
Bobby Portis.
So yeah.
I think Portis could be all rookie. He's looking pretty decent so far. He could be at least all rookie second team. If he gets some minutes. And since Thibodeau's not around, he probably will get a few minutes here and there. So, 93.1% of GMs named Greg Popovich as the top coach. Not really surprising there.
No surprise there.
And Stephen Curry named the top player to take the shot with the game on the line. Again, not too surprising there being the... I think they've also picked him as the best pure shooter. But just going over some of the other results. Last year San Antonio was the team that most GMs picked to win the title with 46.2%. This year, as we said, Cleveland tops 53.6%, San Antonio 25%, Golden State 17.9%, and Oklahoma City 3.6%. So those are the top four. No Clippers there.
No. I guess we'll have to tell by season's end, whether they'll be wrong in that one.
Picks for the MVP, 39.3% pick LeBron. While 25% pick Anthony Davis. See, that's interesting that most people would still give LeBron, or at least think that he will get the MVP, but they'd still take Davis.
Yeah, I guess it could be depending on we'll say with Davis, he's going to get your blocks, rebounds, points, but he'll also affect shots. So even though he may not get the block, he may affect the outcome of the shot. So it'd be the little intangible stuff. So I think that's probably why they get it. But there'll be a lot of stats that you won't get to see that won't get reflected in that. And so I think that's why I kind of drew a blank of where I was going with this.
Sure. No, like I say, I just find it interesting that 86.2% would take Anthony Davis if they were starting if you were starting a franchise today and could sign any player in the NBA, who would it be? Anthony Davis topped with 86.2%, Kevin Durant 6.9%, and LeBron James 6.9%. Last year it was LeBron with 50% of the vote, but then you look at the MVP and people still think that LeBron will be the MVP, 39.3%. So just interesting disparity there, but... which player is most likely to have a breakout season? Andrew Wiggins is tops with 17.2%.
Followed by KG there,
mentoring, elbowing people.
Yeah.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, 13.8%. He's second most likely, according to GMs. Bradley Beal and Jabari Parker on there. Oddly enough, Anthony Davis is on there. I think Anthony Davis had his breakout season last year, to be honest. let's see, best at each position. Not too many surprises there. Stephen Curry, best point guard. James Harden, best shooting guard. LeBron James, best small forward. Anthony Davis, best power forward. Marc Gasol, best center. Which team made the best overall moves? San Antonio, 79.3% of the vote.
Yeah, I think so.
Last year, Cleveland got it with 89.3%. I think purely for getting LeBron.
Yep.
Which one player acquisition will make the biggest impact? Actually, again, 79.3% of the vote goes to San Antonio in LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yep, I'd agree with that. And I think he was the biggest signing of the offseason. So.
And who is the most underrated player acquisition? We actually have a three-way tie. Ty Lawson in Houston, Paul Pierce in Los Angeles with the Clippers, and David West with the Spurs in San Antonio, 10.3% apiece.
That's interesting. They obviously can split it, so...
Yeah, and those are some pretty solid acquisitions for those three teams.
Yeah,
so probably a good call there. Oklahoma City being the most improved team with 25% of the vote. I'd say so, because if they're actually healthy, they'll probably top 50 wins again for once.
Yeah, good to see Miami on the improvement list as well. They're at 10.7%.
And what was the most surprising move of the offseason? Number one, 24.5% of the vote, DeAndre Jordan back to the Clippers. I'd have to agree with that, because we don't see that very often where a player makes that verbal commitment and then backtracks like that with such a circus atmosphere to it. So,
and there's a few others. Like obviously Greg Monroe to the Milwaukee.
Well, that's a worthy of the second one. I that also surprised me, because Yeah, I would have expected him to perhaps go to a
Market team.
bigger market, but at the same time, pretty good opportunity in Milwaukee to be the star, and they improved greatly last season to be from the worst record in the league to the year before last to a playoff team and a 500 record. So, yeah, I mean, there's certainly opportunity there.
True.
Weston Aldridge to the
Spurs. Chandler to Phoenix, I suppose. Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise.
Lawson to Houston, of course, the fallout, and we'll actually follow up on that in a moment. Rookie of the Year, Okafor. But interestingly, which rookie will be the best player in 5 years? And they think that Carl Anthony Towns will take that. Which rookie was the biggest steal? Justice Winslow. Well, our teams did pretty good here.
Yep.
Justice Winslow.
And Bobby
The top pick there. And then Bobby Portis at second, 31%, 24.1%, respectively. Best international player in the NBA, the Gasol brothers topped that. Mark quite easily with 62.1%.
Well, yeah, given that he was a little bit younger and a bit more healthier at this stage, so yeah.
Best defensive player in the NBA, Kawhi Leonard, followed by Anthony Davis. And Kawhi Leonard and Tony Allen, best perimeter defenders, interior defenders, Marc Gasol, Anthony Davis. Not too many surprises there.
There's another one.
Yep.
Who is the best international player not in the NBA? There's Darius Eric. But there's also receiving votes. And we got Ben Simmons in there, which is interesting, I thought.
Yeah.
Considering, he's now just a college player at this stage, so the fact that he's already getting recognition and that, I'm happy for, and so obviously a big prospect for next year.
That's right. So that's pretty cool to see him make the cut there.
Yep.
Seeing if there's anything else of interest. Alvin Gentry, they reckon, will make the relocated coach. Will make the biggest new or relocated coach, I should say, which will make the biggest impact this season. Alvin Gentry in the in New Orleans. Billy Donovan in Oklahoma City. Which active player will make the best head coach someday? Chris Paul, the Clippers. A lot of point guards on that list. In fact, they're all point guards, so
yeah.
Surprises there. Which team is the most fun to watch? Golden State, 93.1% of the vote.
Well, I've seen some of the things that they you see Steph Curry's three where he sort of did that low high five thing to Iggy on the sideline before it even went in. Yeah. And then his little slip and slide, and then step back three when he managed to get back into his feet.
Well, he's also been named as the best pure shooter in the league in the survey. And just seeing if there's anything else. League's best role player, Andre Iguodala, Golden State. Well, he's the finals MVP and a rare role player to win that, so that's probably a pretty good pick at the moment. Play when you weren't taking a shot with the game on the line. Stephen Curry, as we said, over 50% of the vote. And what rule regarding play, draft lottery, player format, etc., most needs to change? And the number one with 24% of the vote was change lottery odds / system, followed by add rights to D-League players, so a longer draft. Actually, they were tied for second with the player format seed 1 to 16, which has, well, they're seeding it 1 to 8 in each conference now. They've changed that ruling so the division winners are no longer get a top 4 seed, unless they have the top 4 record, of course. So that's actually a new question this year, so that's interesting that they would change that. Actually,
number 5, the
FIBA goaltending rules.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on the goaltending rules between the NBA and FIBA? Which one do you prefer?
I actually like the NBA rules, to be honest.
Okay.
I especially as regards to offensive goaltending, basket interference.
Yep.
I like the challenge of players having that challenge of not being able to just go up and claim baskets or swat the ball off the rim. That there has to be. I know it makes it a lot harder.
Yep.
I know the international ruling is easier to
to
officiate.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess it's what I'm used to. The NBA game is, I've mostly watched the NBA growing up.
Yep.
And to this day, not that I don't have an appreciation for other leagues or international play, but yeah, I don't know. I also think the NBA is still the best league in the world, and that they should lead and not follow. And if it's working for them, then others don't necessarily have to adopt it, but I think that the NBA shouldn't have to change to match everyone else. I see the reason for it, because obviously it gets players used to playing the international style of game, but I'm a fan of the NBA doing its own thing. But what about you?
I'm kind of... This is probably one of the only FIBA rules that I kind of like, and it's just purely because it is easier to officiate, and it can take out that discrepancy and those controversial calls in that sense. So it's just in that, and I suppose in a way it could you know, the game's worried about being delayed and all that stuff. I mean it's such a minor thing, but you know, when they have to go to replay it to try and get the right call, that's one thing that they could probably do in that sense. So yeah, I think that's just it can be too hard to this invisible cylinder in a sense.
The cylinder, yeah.
That you know that they rule by. You know, too many times you sort of see missed calls and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's that's probably the one that I the only FIBA rule that I kind of agree with that the NBA maybe should adopt. Obviously, yeah.
Wouldn't change the dimensions of the key or anything.
No, I like the NBA size key, yep. and 3-point lines and stuff compared to FIBA. Obviously, the times of the quarters and stuff, like, yeah, our international NBL has still 10-minute quarters, which I'm kind of bummed. Like, I still think it should be a 12-minute quarter for me. That
yeah, if you're not doing the 2 20-minute halves, you might as well do the 4 12-minute quarters.
Yeah, you know, and I can understand for Olympic and FIBA competition that they have it shortened, just purely because they're trying to compress so many games into like 3 weeks, 2 or 3 yep. weeks. So, yeah, it's that makes sense. And I mean, yeah, it's a few minutes here or there. It probably ends up being like about 20 to 30 minutes in real time in that sense. But yeah, I think pro, like National League or whatever you want to call it, and that I think all should be that 12-minute quarters, fully timed and all that stuff. You know, sure. And so that way the fans feel like they're getting their money's worth.
Yeah.
You know, they're not getting shortchanged.
You know, the one rule that I hope they do, they never implement in the NBA?
Which one?
Is the new jump ball rule, that is getting rid of the jump ball and just having it switch sides.
Yeah, that rule just... I've always hated that one from when they've implemented it. And yeah, it's the worst one. It's just like, yeah. Really? And
Just let them jump. Just let them jump it up. That's the whole point. Yeah, don't have it. You know.
It what is it? They describe it as to eliminate unfairness between high-set players or something like that. Or I don't know. You get either that or it's a health and safety issue. Well, why do we do it at the beginning of the game then?
Yeah.
So yeah.
Why don't we just flip a coin?
Yeah.
And have it start out. You know. Why don't we just do it that way? And of course, okay. So now it goes this way, and you can kind of force it. You can force a turnover.
Yeah.
With a jump ball instead of you know. No, I don't like that. So if the NBA
adopted that one, I'd switch off.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I'd certainly be pretty disappointed. I wouldn't think it would do much for the game.
No.
You'd be right there with Hackershack,
yeah.
The things to get rid of again next time they. But certainly an interesting survey there, and it'll be interesting again to look back on at the end of the season. In fact, I might even bookmark that so that we can do that at the end of the season, just to see how it all. It all ends up turning out at the end of the day. Again, the last year's survey, the Warriors didn't get much credit at all, and then they went and won a franchise best. Was it 67 games they won last year?
Something like that.
And of course, went on to win the championship. So it's good to know that the GMs can make predictions that are as bad as ours.
Yeah.
So either they shouldn't be in their jobs, or we could do their jobs. One of the two. So not sure which way it goes.
Not all GMs are Nostradamus.
That's right. But I want to end on a lighter note. We didn't really have anything funny picked out last week, but something did surface. It was posted in the forum, and it was cross-posted from Reddit. But there's some pretty funny things in my GM, in my league, in NBA 2K. People, they've certainly got a sense of humor there at Visual Concepts, putting some funny things in with the conversations and whatnot. And you do wonder if some of these things are... Well, with things like what we're going to talk about, you know, how intentional they are. So this year in my career, and of course we talked about my career before, and how even though we're not loving the story, there's still some really good elements to it, especially in the second year where you move on to more of the RPG stuff. But of course you've got the off-day activities and things where you can make connections, you can either with other players and fans and live practice, do drills and everything. But someone's actually posted a screenshot of... an off-day event and a player connection, and it is a winery tour with Ty Lawson. Now, first of all, that's a pretty funny thing to put in a basketball game. You know, let's. What do you do on your off day? Well, I'm going to go on a winery tour. You know, I don't know whether that's the scene for most NBA players, but what you know, whatever. Winery tours are nice.
Very, very, very romantic one indeed.
Yeah. It can be platonic, so that's not the real issue. The real issue is you've got Ty Lawson, who's been charged with a couple of DUIs. In fact, that's what got him to Houston in the first place. The Nuggets wanted to get rid of him, you know, on a winery tour. It was kind of a unfortunate coincidence, if indeed it is a coincidence. Yes, I saw that. Thought, oh, that's a bit awkward.
yeah, it'd be it was a funny guy doing that one at the office.
Oh, we blame Leftos always. Yep. Blame Leftos for everything. So, thank you, Leftos, for throwing that into the game. And hopefully, Ty is not too upset about that being perpetuated throughout the league, throughout the gaming community, the basketball gaming community at the moment. But yeah, that was a bit of a funny thing that I saw today. So thank you for posting that in the forum as well. I believe that was the Domi or TVM that posted that, and need to reboot the service, so I can't check that in the forum at the moment. But yeah, so that's pretty much all we have for this week. I hope you enjoyed our discussion this week. We'll have much more impressions as the weeks go on, and we continue to play both NBA Live 16 and NBA 2K16, and of course the season once again, Ben, just a week away.
Sweet. I've got 2 fantasy league drafts this week, so I gotta really start thinking who I'm gonna get for my teams and that. So that should really start to get me excited for the season now that it's fast approaching.
You don't need a bigger download limit. Spinning the games. But yes, that has brought us to the end of another show. Thank you once again for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, we invite you to subscribe to us on iTunes or keep streaming the show right here on the NLSC. Also, would love it if you would connect with us on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook is facebook.com/the NLSC, Twitter @the NLSC, and keep it locked to the NLSC, nba-live.com, for everything we do each and every week with our favorite basketball video games. But yes, that is it for episode number 131 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week, everyone.